Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome aboard to Cruise Radio, your home port for everything cruising and more. Subscribe to our newsletter and weekly radio show at cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise One Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Basford.
And I'm Doug Parker. You can follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio and Facebook.com/Cruise Radio.
We always welcome your questions, comments, criticisms, your travel experiences. Email comments at cruiseradio.net. Or call 866-874-7957, 866-874-7957.
On this show, travel expert Chris Elliott of Elliott.org with some summer travel tips for you.
But first, Stuart Sheeran, the Cruise Guy, joins us. You can find him at cruiseguy.com. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man.
Well, it's been an epic week.
Yes, it has.
More malfunctions.
Well, the Norwegian Epic was finally delivered on June 17th. Amid much fanfare, and certainly deservedly so. But I know on the Rotterdam to Southampton, they did develop a problem where they gave the phone call. Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, boy.
And they said that, the ship is going to wind up arriving in Southampton about 9 hours late, seven to 9 hours late. But there was a problem, allegedly, with the propulsion shaft. You know, no one really knows little any more than that. It is possible that it had something to do with the replaced engine number 6 that they had to completely replace. But the ship is on its own power, and last I heard, it was scheduled to dock a little late in Southampton and make some adjustments. But the ship will be repaired there, and everything should go off accordingly.
What are the critics saying about the Epic so far, the bloggers and stuff, about the room sizes?
Well, let's start with the good stuff.
All right.
The food, the reports have been very good. The entertainment has been reported off the charts, which is great news. The new the circus themed dinner show has gotten rave reviews, and many of the cabins with this new wave has been met with mostly negative comments, unfortunately. Not to mention it's taken away the little curb that they put in the cabins have taken away some of the space, but from now people have actually seen it. I kind of thought it was a little bizarre, but they said, don't worry, when it's seen, it'll be different. But it really feels like a bathroom with a sleeping area.
Oh, man.
So you have your shower and your bathroom, and they have loosened, doors, but the bathroom, in a sense, has been completely eliminated, and the sink is in the middle of the room.
Mm.
So if you're traveling with a non-intimate partner or a family with kids, it could be a little awkward. So not much they can do for those, but the single cabins have gotten some very nice reviews, which are kind of like the dorm room type cabins with a private bathroom.
Yeah.
So, look, so far so good. We'll see what happens when they launch the entertainment. But the other side is that, again, we knew it. Unlike Oasis of the Seas, which was very well spread out, and we saw no areas of mass congestion, Norwegian Epic has been reporting lots of areas of mass congestion, and it's only half full.
Oh, they have?
Yep, in many areas. They said there's just been... NCL really kind of just threw a lot together using every conceivable space for anything they could imagine, and unfortunately it may have disrupted the flow of the ship, and just going from certain areas of the ship, people are claiming there are areas with lines and significant waits to get through. But look, they've got a couple weeks. Its first sailing officially isn't until July the 10th. We take it for a test drive on the 8th,
yes.
And we'll certainly see for ourselves.
What can you tell us about this DOT rule to extend the disability protections?
Well, a lot of these rules were, it's very interesting. I mean, they certainly want to ensure fair treatment to people with disabilities. It's mainly toward, passenger ferries. On the cruise side, the guidelines from what I've read, are already enacted, where, the only thing that there may be a problem is whether people can bring animals on. Right now you can bring an animal on if you need it for, to see, like a seeing eye dog. But mm-hmm. They're also talking about the possibility of animals for emotional needs. Ooh. So, we'll kind of see where that goes. So it's a little early to tell. But, the cruise lines right now have never charged additional for, access for passengers with disabilities.
The Enchantment of the Seas starting year-round service out of Baltimore?
That is great news.
Very cool.
Philadelphia kind of was put off. Norfolk, Virginia was discontinued. And Royal Caribbean joined Carnival Cruise Line to be the two operators doing year-round out of Baltimore. Carnival started doing 7 nights Florida, Bahamas last year out of Baltimore to huge success. Royal brought in Enchantment of the Seas to begin doing 5 and night Bermuda and Caribbean itineraries. So it's quite a selection that they have there now. And, considering the, 4-hour drive time, there's several million people that are within that area that can now go on some nice ships without having to hop on a plane.
And what a nice area, too, especially the Inner Harbor there in Baltimore. So I got to ask you about this. Spirit Airlines, they reached an agreement. They're back up in the air?
They began flying Friday. I'm not sure too many people care right now.
Right.
They certainly lost their Spirit, and... that's one of the reasons why, when you're looking for flights, you want to, especially going on cruises, you can't wait for, you need an airline with the frequencies of flights, and you can't afford to deal with hiccups because you could actually miss the ship. So, that's great for Spirit Airlines, its passengers, its company. We'll see where it goes. We'll certainly wish them luck.
Thank you, Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy, who can be found at cruiseguy.com. He will join us later in the show with your hot deals. Now, occasionally, Doug and I like to share with you great places to stay, and this is certainly one of them. Staybridge Suites in Orlando, just off International Drive. Aside from the fact that it's a very nice place, very comfortable, it's just a short drive to Port Canaveral. So if you're cruising, excellent choice. It's got everything you would expect in a really nice hotel, plus some surprising and lovely extras like fully equipped kitchens, complimentary high internet access, and a whole lot more.
Matt, you mentioned the kitchen, and yes, I actually use the kitchens. It's a home away from home is what the place is like. I felt like I was walking into my own little apartment down in Orlando, Florida when I got there.
Well, yeah, you save a lot of money that way, going out grocery shopping and cooking your own food, but they also offer complimentary meals.
An awesome hot breakfast bar with a waffle station, and this place isn't your run-of-the-mill little continental breakfast. This thing is huge.
Nice spread.
Yes, everything.
Evening sundowner every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights in a 24-hour on-site convenience store and gift shop.
And speaking of convenient, very convenient to all the theme parks, plus a complimentary shuttle for you, too, so... You can't beat that. All you have to do is sign up for that the night before.
Their slogan says it all. It's like having your own vacation home, except it's a hotel.
That's Staybridge Suites, Orlando, 8480 International Drive.
And be sure you tell them that Matt and Doug from Cruise Radio told you all about it. Find out more at cruiseradio.net.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
Have you been dreaming lately about a romantic tropical cruise to the Caribbean?
Cruise One. Or how about a breathtaking scenic cruise to Alaska?
Cruise One.
Or how about the Mexican Riviera?
Or Cancun.
Cozumel.
Or New England.
Or Canada.
Or Italy.
Or Greece.
Or the Far East. Or how about a cruise around the whole world?
Cruise One. Got a dream vacation for you.
Cruise One.
Better send you on your way.
Cruise One.
Number one in cruising nationwide.
Cruise One has more than 550 cruise specialists nationwide ready to help you plan your dream cruise. And speaking with a local Cruise One expert is as easy as calling toll-free 1-800-CRUISE and the number 1. That's 1-800-CRUISE-1 or find us online at cruiseone.com.
Number 1 in cruising nationwide. Cruise One. Yeah.
Cruise One.
Travel guru Chris Elliott can always be found at Elliott.org. That's with two L's and two T's, by the way. But sometimes he can be found on MSNBC.com, like his recent article, Absurdities of the Seas, Seven Common Cruise Pitfalls and How to Sail Around Them. Chris Elliott, once again, welcome back to Cruise Radio.
Always good to be here.
Let me just dive right into the beginning of this article you wrote. Whether it's silly little extra charges or security issues, you won't fail to find something absurd at sea. Just ask Shirley Ann Schultz, a sales assistant in Tampa, Florida. When she boarded a recent cruise, the ship's security confiscated a 5-inch knife she uses to prepare food. Then a couple of hours later, they handed her a steak knife with a 6-inch blade. These are things I think we have all encountered, the frustrating security issues. Please elaborate, if you would.
Well, it just doesn't make very much sense, does it? I mean,
no.
You've got these folks confiscating items and then handing them to you again in an even more dangerous variety when you're sitting at the table. Look, if you want to do something criminal on a ship, there's plenty of opportunities.
Right.
And so, if you want to take a knife and go at it with someone, we haven't gotten to the level of where airlines are, where they took away all the silverware and replaced it with plastic and these dull knives. So it just is a common sense thing, and common sense is lacking. It's lacking in a lot of the cruise industry. I mean, you mentioned some of the regulations, and also, of course, the fees that you get. I mean, and we've talked about this on the show before,
right.
But, you bill a cruise vacation to something that's all-inclusive, and then you get there, and everything costs extra. The drinks are extra, the premium restaurants are extra, and so it really isn't a all-inclusive vacation at all. It's a semi-inclusive vacation.
Certainly there must be some logical, perfectly sane reasoning behind all this.
Money.
Okay.
Well, in the case of fees, it's definitely money. And also, when you're talking about confiscating items, the most commonly confiscated item, as you well know, is alcohol. And so you have people who put their vodka in their, clear plastic bottles that say Listerine on it and try to smuggle it through. But, it's all a money thing. The cruise lines want to make money off of alcohol sales, and anything that interferes with it, they're going to try to get rid of.
Okay, the next one, Chris, is nonsense maritime laws. Can you explain to us what the Jones Act is?
Yeah, the Jones Act is a relic from the 19th century from maritime law, which says, if I'm not mistaken, that a ship can't dock twice before it goes to a different country, and it's meant to basically protect U.S. shipping interests. What's happened is that a lot of people are denied boarding on a ship because of a Jones Act technicality, which is to say, if I miss my ship in Miami, I can't then go to Key West and get on the ship. I'm not allowed to do that under the Jones Act. So I profiled someone who had a problem getting on a ship. Because of the Jones Act.
I just want to touch back on the that security issue. Why do you think they would do that? They're confiscating these things when they're readily available on the ship.
It doesn't make any sense. I know.
But again, certainly there must be some logical explanation.
would think. Well, I mean, look, the folks who are handling security have their orders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what happens at sea stays at sea, so you have a separate set of standards that are applying to the ship. And, you can't run a cruise ship without silverware. So if you're going to a steak restaurant, they're going to hand you a steak knife. And if someone wants to take that steak knife back to the room and, use it for some nefarious purpose, they can. That isn't something that your security is going to be able to stop. The security is basically to stop people from coming on the ship with all with any kind of paraphernalia, guns, knives, that sort of thing. So in a way I understand it. In a way it just makes absolutely no sense.
Well, last weekend I was getting on a plane and I had a bottle of water in my hand, and she's like, no consumable liquids, please, on board. You can't bring that up. So then I opened up my bag and I said, well, are these okay? And I pull out miniatures of alcohol. And she goes, oh, those are fine. I'm like, what? Oh, certainly I wasn't going to argue with her. But it was the miniature water bottles, those smaller ones, which are larger than the miniature alcohol bottles. But still, it's like, okay, you just told me no consumable. Oh, forget it.
Yeah. Well, look, those TSA, the 3-1-1 rule from the TSA never made any sense to begin with. And if you ask the TSA, if you really press it about what's so dangerous about liquids, they can't tell you because they don't know. It was a political decision that was made. It was something very reactionary, and the TSA is unable to defend that decision. So, you know, you got the issue of the liquids having to come in as, you know, if they're small enough that you can put them on a plane. And you know, just really, if you look into it closely enough, you realize that it makes zero sense at all, and they're just doing it to keep up appearances now. And I will tell you that they are supposed to have new scanners in place by the end of the year, and that will allow us to carry our Starbucks onto the plane. But in the meantime, you know, really, the best thing to do is just not to even bother asking, because it makes zero sense. Just like some of these cruise line rules that we're talking about, they don't make any sense.
Well, and you highlight these rules in one of your recent articles on your site, Elliott.org, TSA's Liquid Rules, So Long 3-1-1. First of all, what is the 3-1-1 exactly? It's 3 ounces of, what is it?
Yeah, I would get confused too. 3 ounces in the single zip-top bag.
Look, right.
I get confused by what the 3-1-1 rule is. The best place to find out about it is on the TSA's website, but anyway.
But it's history.
It's, well, and people say it's history, and what I did was I did what any good journalist does. I started asking people about the 3-1-1 rule because I had been through security numerous times in the last couple of weeks, and no one asked me to take out my liquids and gels, so I started wondering, you know, what's going on here? So I called the TSA, and the TSA said, we're selectively enforcing it. Each station has some leverage as to, or some ability to decide whether or not to check for liquids and gels or not. So I also asked passengers, and a lot of passengers told me that they hadn't been asked to remove their liquids and gels. Now, since the article ran, I've heard from people who say, yeah, it depends on the airport. Some do, some don't. But I have to tell you, if you're flying out of Orlando, you're not going to have to worry about liquids and gels, because they're not going to ask you about them, at least not the last time I flew out of Orlando.
Back to the absurdities on the cruise ships and talking about, you know, it's all about money. Well, let me ask you this. First of all, are Sandals Resorts and places like that, do they charge for alcohol, or is that all-inclusive?
Well, no, I mean, Sandals Resorts are billed as all-inclusive, and they really, I mean, the last time I was at a Sandals, it really was, the alcohol was included in everything. Some of the activities were not included, but certainly the alcohol was included.
So then why do cruise ships insist upon saying all-inclusive when you say, as it clearly is, semi-inclusive, and they are nickel and diming you with the extra things here, the sodas are extra, and the here, and this, and that?
Yeah, well, traditionally, it has been an all-inclusive vacation. I mean, if you go back 10, 15 years, pretty much everything was included. And then the cruise lines got very savvy to this idea that actually was pioneered probably by the airlines, and that was that if you start taking things away, you can keep the base fares low and start charging on the basis of an a la carte, an a la carte offering. So whereas the drinks used to be free, they now charge. Soft drinks, they started charging for those as well. Then they added the premium restaurants. And those were ways for the cruise lines after 9/11 to start making more money. So that's where we are right now. And the reason why these vacations are billed as all-inclusive is that, you know, we really haven't caught up to it. A lot of cruises, more than 90%, are still sold by travel agents. Agents sometimes will, in an effort to sell you a cruise, will tell you that this is a very all-inclusive experience, without being very specific about it. And so, you know, you have people coming back from cruises that sometimes are unhappy because they've had to pay extra when they thought they weren't going to have to.
Chris, let's move to the next one here. Air deviation fees. What are they, and why bother with a deviation fee?
To be honest with you, I don't think I really understand what an air deviation fee is. I've heard several different definitions of it. The idea, of course, is that you're going to be buying your airfare through the cruise line, and that somehow you're going to be protected. And the fact is that if your flight doesn't leave because of a mechanical problem or because of a weather delay and you don't make it to your ship on time, all bets really are off unless you have travel insurance. So people think that by paying a little bit of extra money for their airline tickets, they're somehow protected when in fact they're not.
You write here in the article, if you thought airline contracts were bad, check out a cruise contract. They seem to be written by a team of maritime lawyers who want to take your money and give you nothing in return.
Did I write that?
Yes, well, you did.
It's true that they are written by maritime lawyers. And I keep calling them the airlines, because the cruise lines and the airlines are doing, you know, they're doing some very similar things here. But yes, they really don't want to have to give you anything. And the most dramatic example of that is the guarantee that you're going to be able to experience certain ports of call. Now, when you have a brochure that says, you know, you're going on a Western Caribbean cruise, they'll have four or five ports of call. But if you look at the cruise contract, that thing that's written by all the maritime lawyers, you'll realize that under that contract, your cruise line can sail out into the middle of the ocean and sail back without hitting a single port of call, and it doesn't owe you a dime.
Huh.
So really, you know, look at the brochure, admire the beautiful pictures, and then go back to the cruise contract,
okay,
because that's where you're going to find out what the cruise line really has to do for you.
You touch upon the jewelry and art sales on board, and I have always stayed far away from those. They scream like, I don't know, scam or something, swap meet, I don't know. It's just, they're always, it's like you're guaranteed to lose money when you walk past those tables. Or those.
Well, yeah, it's those, also like gambling on board. I mean,
yeah.
If you really think you're going to...
Or the art auctions, I guess. They have the onboard art auctions, which I think, I thought they were doing away with those on some...
Some cruise lines are doing away with them. Look, the reason you go on a cruise is to enjoy the cruise, not to buy art, not to buy wine,
right,
and not to go gambling.
Right.
So if you're going to go on a cruise and do those things, what do you expect?
Right.
And I really think, you know, the complaints that I get from people who bought jewelry on board... are, you know, they're completely preventable. The way to prevent it is just say no, walk past it. You know, do what you were going to do on the cruise, which is enjoy the cruise. But don't go shopping for jewelry.
You can stay home and watch HSN for that.
Exactly.
Really.
And your jewelry is probably going to be a whole lot cheaper, too.
Yeah. You can find the article, Absurdities of the Seas, 7 Common Cruise Pitfalls and How to Sail Around Them, at MSNBC.com. Doug is taking a trip actually pretty soon to Indianapolis and had a question for you, Chris.
Yeah, this weekend I'm going up to Indianapolis about my flight online on AirTran from Jacksonville to Indy via Baltimore. My question is, when I came to seat selection time, they wanted to charge me 6, 12, and I believe 20 for an emergency exit row. Is charging for seats more and more of a common practice?
Unfortunately, yes, it is. AirTran does it, Spirit does it, and... even some of the mainline carriers like Delta and U.S. Airways do it for their emergency exit rows and some of the most coveted seats. And it's just another way of airlines making money. So I would expect to see more of it and not less.
So whenever I go to the airport on Friday to fly out and say no one bought that seat online, will I still get charged for it or no?
Yeah, if you pay for it when you book your ticket, then you're still going to get charged for it.
Gotcha.
Now, with AirTran, I'm a fairly frequent AirTran customer, and I never buy the seat reservation. I just wait until 24 hours before the flight leaves. I check in online, and I usually get a pretty good seat assignment. I haven't gotten stuck in a middle seat yet.
Fair enough. No, I did the right thing then. Cool.
Chris, I don't know if you know the answer to this. How much human flesh and body fat has to spill over the armrest before the airline says you have to purchase another seat?
You know, that's a great question. I've heard from lots and lots of people who have asked me something similar, and I think it just depends on the case.
Yeah.
You know, some airlines have pretty strict policies, like Southwest, about buying a second seat. Others don't. I think it's a pretty fair... you know, way of measuring it.
Well, I was just going to say, Chris, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry. Right next to the, if your bag cannot fit in this little case, you need to check it in. They needed to have a seat, an airline seat right next to that. If your ass can't fit in here, you got to buy another seat.
I think if you can't put the little handrest down, you've got a problem. Also, if you have to ask the flight attendant for a seatbelt extender, you got a problem.
If
both of those are true, then usually the person sitting next to that person of size has a fairly good case for asking the flight attendant to move.
I think I hear Jeff Foxworthy bit coming on.
If you can't bring your armrest down, you might be too fat for the airline seat.
That's right.
As always, you can find travel guru Chris Elliott at Elliott.org, and that is with two L's and two T's. I have to explain that for people like me, because it can be tricky. Because there's another guy out there, I think, Elliott, with one T out there. But
there's a couple of us out there.
As always, it's a great pleasure. Thank you for being with us, Chris.
All right, thanks.
About your cruise experience, good or bad, and you could be on the show. Call 1-866-874-7957 or email comments at cruiseradio.net.
Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy, is back with your hot deals. What you got, man?
Well, we spoke earlier about Enchantment of the Seas' new Baltimore sailings, where they're going to be doing 5- and 9-night Bermuda and Caribbean. So we looked and found some deals. Starting from $7.99 for the summer on the 5-night, and if you head toward the fall, you'll see that start around $4.99
nice.
Per person. Some other, you know, still hot sailings. The Celebrities Infinity, we talked, we've talked about a number of times. It's doing a 14-night South America cruise from Miami to Valparaiso, which is Santiago, Chile, which is really a combination of three itineraries, doing a Caribbean, full transit of the Panama Canal and western coast of South America. Mm-hmm. They've reintroduced the air pricing, thankfully. So instead of paying $4,099 per person, right now the pricing starts from just $1,628 per person, which is a 14-night cruise along with round-trip air. And, you know, why not? And talk about MCL's brand-new Norwegian Epic doing 7-night Eastern or Western Caribbean, and like Oasis of the Seas, the itineraries are not very good, but remember, it's about the ship.
Yeah,
we're going to see some pricing start from just $649 per person.
Nice. What else you got?
You got some people that were interested in Disney on the West Coast.
Yes.
Disney Wonder, after it sails in Alaska next summer, will be heading to Los Angeles, where it's going to be doing 7-night Mexican Riviera, to Puerto Vallarta, Mazatlan, and Cabo San Lucas, and select January, February, and March dates from $639 and kids cruise free.
Wow, that's good for Disney.
That's some really good deals, especially on Disney.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy, who can be found at cruiseguy.com. You can also follow him on Twitter.
You can follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio and on Facebook.com/Cruise Radio.
Next week, Jeff Edwards will be with us. I love this guy. I always talk about him. He's been in radio forever. He used to host some popular TV game shows like Jackpot and Let's Make a Deal. And really interesting guy. And he's been aboard the Star Clipper. He cruises a lot. And I guess the Star Clipper is a unique sailing experience.
Yeah, it's like a giant sailboat, I guess you could say.
It's really, really nice. But we'll talk to him next week.
Also, big trip coming up for us, July 8th, the Norwegian Epic out of Miami.
Yeah, we'll get to see it. One of the first to see it, I guess.
Yeah, a two-night media cruise we're doing. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot us an email, comments@cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise One Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
Have you been dreaming lately about a romantic tropical cruise to the Caribbean?
Cruise One. Or how about a breathtaking scenic cruise to Alaska?
Cruise One.
Or how about the Mexican Riviera?
Or Cancun.
Cozumel.
Or New England.
Or Canada.
Or Italy.
Or Greece.
Or the Far East. Or how about a cruise around the whole world?
Cruise One got a dream vacation for you.
Cruise One.
Better send you on your way.
Cruise One.
Number one in cruising nationwide.
Cruise One has more than 550 cruise specialists nationwide ready to help you plan your dream cruise. And speaking with a local Cruise One expert is as easy as calling toll-free 1-800-CRUISE-1. That's 1-800-CRUISE-1. Or find us online at cruiseone.com.
Number one in cruising nationwide. Cruise One.
Get all the MasterForce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with MasterForce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more. Find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with MasterForce power equipment at Menards.
Save big.